Hello, everybody. We're chuckling slightly because this is our second attempt because we were Muppets. Well, I was. I was a Muppet. I have to take full responsibility for this podcast starting in a slightly haphazard way because we have already started it once and didn't record it. There we go. So the lucky guest of all of this chaos, yep, it's Neil Hughes, and he is welcome to the Evie Cafe Takeaway podcast, that podcast focused on a zero emission future that we all hope for. Neil, welcome again.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here. Again.
He says through gritted teeth. Now, just in case you hadn't noticed from that the deep husky again, I am joined by the lovely John Curtis. John, welcome.
Hello. Thank you, darling.
That's okay. He's husky because he has a chest infection, bless him. But he's battling on for the Evie Cafe takeaway, don't you know?
I wouldn't miss Neil for all the tea in Tesco's, despite the fact that I cancelled last week and said, oh, man, I can't do it.
Yes, we have been somewhat plagued, but there we go. But we are very, very excited to have Neil because he works for a company called Utility Line, and between them, they have sponsored the EV Cafe, a silver sponsor, by the way. So just for those people out there that have not come across Utility Line, and even worse still, not come across Neil Hughes, please just tell us a little bit about you and your company, Lift Speech style.
Okay. Hello. My name's Neil Hughes. I'm from Hollywood town of Wrexham in North Wales, and I've been in the electrical industry now for probably 25 plus years. First starting off my career many years ago I spent 20 years at Schneider Electric, and the last 5 years in Schneider Electric was very much focused on infrastructure for EV. So all the grey boxes and all the technology that sits behind the chargers that normally sits behind a fence that nobody ever sees, but it's fundamental and key to kind of powering up the EV chargers that everybody's using nowadays. So that was, so I went there for the last 5 years. I created that business and grew that business. And then after that, I went to the EV network for 6 months, helping them look at perhaps a business case for fleet charging and doing things different within fleets away from a depot. So I did that for 6 months, and then 9 months ago I joined Utility Line, who are an independent connection provider, and we're kind of helping powering up the transition to more greener, smarter energy, and we're helping our clients obviously get connections to the grid. We're helping simplify, really, because everybody knows it can be very complex when you need a connection to the grid. With all the DNO specifications you have to have, and you need to make sure that the connection you're getting is going to be future-proof. So, you're not having to do things over and over again. So we do all HV and high voltage and low voltage connections for EV charging, whether that be a high-powered hub, whether that be fleet charging. We'd also work in or started to work more in the industrial commercial sectors. So we're kind of diversifying across many sectors, but predominantly it's helping our clients on that kind of electrification and connection to the grid.
Fantastic. Now, you can't get away with saying Hollywood town around me because I know the full story.
Is this something to do with the football team and the rather well-known owners?
It might well be.
But it's a very specific element that made it a Hollywood town. What is it that made it a Hollywood town?
Oh, tell me it's not something to do with shaving your downstairs.
No, and it's not Paul Hollywood either.
No, it's not. Oh, gosh.
Oh, where did that come from?
Please tell me we can edit that out. goodness me. No, it's not. But so, Neil, what is it? Tell us all.
So basically, going back a few years ago,
2020 to be precise.
2020. So it started off with Rob McElhenney, who is a TV star in America, not a movie star. And he lives in the Rust Belt. You're going to get the full thing now. So he lives in the Rust Belt in America, obviously steelworks, coal mining, and he kind of spotted Wrexham somewhere. I don't know exactly how he spotted it, but he spotted it somewhere and he saw quite a lot of synergy from where he lives, obviously with the steelworks closing and the mines closing and everything like that, and saw Wrexham as one of the oldest football clubs in Europe. Really wanted to get involved in that, but he only had television money and he needed movie money. So basically, I think he sent a Twitter to Ryan Reynolds, never met him properly before, sent a Twitter to him, said, look, you need to get involved in this. And basically the rest is history. And now on Disney Channel, we've got our own Wrexham series.
Well, so, but what makes it truly Hollywood?
Oh, well, we have got a Hollywood sign, or we did have a Hollywood sign as you drive into Wrexham on the old Colwy Banks.
Exactly that. Now, the other side to that story is that unbeknown to anyone, except the then sponsor of the lower league, what's it called? The Vauxhall Premier...
The Conference League.
So it was the Vanarama Conference League. And Vanarama I worked for in lockdown, and they were already working on a little secret project. And what they did is get all of that kit that said Wrexham above the on the Colliery Banks, and overnight put it up. And so the whole of Wrexham woke one morning to Wrexham, the Hollywood style signage, in exactly the same font and that whole bit. And it was, and then they left it for a week before announcing who did it. It was Vanarama that did it. And they were saying, Ryan Reynolds has done it. And absolute genius.
It was good. It's good. And it's been good. It's been a great journey for Wrexham. It's been fantastic for the town, for the city now. So yeah, it's an amazing story.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the zero emission future that we all care about. John, over to you.
All right, mate. I'm fascinated to understand your journey, Neil. So I know a little bit about Wales. My grandfather was from the Rhondda Valley, and I used to go in the summer and spend time in the Rhondda. And got very close to fossil fuels and coal, and I actually became a coal merchant, which many people don't know. So I was selling fossil fuel back in the day. But what's your journey? How did you get into the energy world?
My fascination in the electrical industry or with electricity started when I was about 10. So I was helping my dad in their house, and basically I was standing on a chair with a drill in my hand, and he was standing behind me. We checked everywhere first to make sure there was no sockets in the room or anything else. So we started drilling through the wall. The next minute we hit a live cable, which was actually coming from the next door's room, our house, but in the room behind it, which shouldn't have happened. Anyway, a big flash, sparks flying, drill melted, I dropped the drill. I fell off, went to fall off the chair. My dad just caught me just before I hit the floor. But you could see, for me then, it was like the power of electricity. It melted metal and caused so much mess. It was just incredible. And ever since then, I've been fascinated with electricity, and I've kind of moved in the roles that I've had over the years. And it's always been linked to the electrical industry when it needed to be or when it could be. So that's when it started, when I was 10.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europe Car, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europe Car's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europe Karma. Search Europe Car Business.
Exciting to be now at the forefront of the emergence of new technology, new ways of doing things. And do you like innovation? Do you like new stuff?
Yeah, I do, to be fair, because I suppose getting involved in kind of the EV industry when I was at Schneider, it started 5 years ago in the EV industry, but basically when I started that industry, I wasn't kind of a spring chicken. So everybody tells everybody that, oh no, they'll never adopt that. They're too old in the tooth now. You can't teach an old dog, new tricks, but I kind of like to understand things, you know, and really understand what it's all about. And yeah, I think I've really kind of started to look at the different technologies, what's out there, you know, we're struggling with power, what can help next? So I'm always constantly looking on LinkedIn. Is a really good place. You can learn a lot on LinkedIn from people's comments and chats, and also just Google searches, looking at different technologies and keeping abreast of what's new coming in, you know. And that's, for me, it's really fascinating on how we can do things differently and how we can bring value to customers that potentially where they are in the country might not be able to do it, but there's obviously a way of doing things that can benefit them from new technology. So I think it's a fascinating industry to be in. And I think now with Utility Line, it's even more fascinating to bring power to people in really bizarre circumstances where they can't get power. There's no power near. They've been to somebody, oh yeah, well, you can get some power, but it's going to cost you £1 million and it's going to take you 2 years to get. How can we do it differently? Can we get smaller power sooner? Can we add technology to make that power bigger? And, you know, it's a really fascinating place to be at the minute to help customers with their challenges.
And what is it that you're seeing that is exciting? So, like, if somebody says to, oh, wow, what? How do we solve this problem? What's the biggest problem that you think you and Utility Line are really bringing to the market to solve? Or what technology do you expect to see coming maybe into the country from outside somewhere?
So I think the challenge, I suppose, the way we try to help our customers is to simplify. So obviously getting power from the grid with the DNOs, with the planning permissions, with everything else that sits behind that. People just think, oh, I need a charger. So sometimes you get people coming to you saying, I want to put a charger here. And they're like, well, have you thought about this, and this? And you know, they never have. They just think, I want a charger. So I think we have to kind of sit them down there and start from scratch and say, right, okay, what chargers need, what you're using it for, and then help them on that kind of journey to understand what needs to come first. And then that's where the intricacies come, and that's where we really support our clients with simplifying it. We'll take all that responsibility. And I suppose one of the biggest things for us at the minute is obviously Utility Lines all owned by Adlin and Allen. So Adlin and Allen are a big environmental company. So we do anything to do with hydrocarbons, which is mean, you know, cleaning oil slicks in harbours and everything. And we even do wildlife surveys on big sites. We make sure that the sites are good to be developed. We do kind of, you know, contaminated land surveys. You know, we do GPRS. So we do things that kind of has to come and everybody has to do it, but not a lot of people know that they have to do it. So I think that brings value to what Utility Line are bringing to the market. So we have to get involved really early days. So as an ICP, we do all the civils, we bring all the power to site, we run all the cables. But prior to that, we make sure the land is fit for development. So I think that's a really important part as well. And, you know, we create habitats for wildlife that are protected, can't be developed, the land can't be developed because of it. We'll find out what's there. We'll build a new habitat and we'll move the animals to a safer place, and then we'll stamp it that it's able to be developed then. So it's really, you know, it's that end-to-end piece really. It's actually the sustainability and everything and the green, you know, protecting the planet, but it's also helping to protect the wildlife that's in the locations that are, just because there's a development needs to happen, you shouldn't just do it without protecting what's there already. It's been there a lot longer than we have. So I think it's fascinating now bringing them streams into the Utility Line business as well. And it adds a lot more value to the customer than just what they think needs to happen. So it's just that we just really put our arms around the customer and make sure that their journey is painless or as painless as possible.
Very good. It's an exciting time in this industry, and I'm always curious to see what's coming around the corner to solve some of the problems. And John and I are off to China very shortly, aren't we, John?
We are.
To go and see firsthand what might be in the next 2 or 3 or 5 years landing in this country to try and solve and support companies like you guys to solve some of those problems. Is that something that you keep abreast of, you know, outside of the country? And
yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think one of the biggest places, obviously, at the minute, like you just said, you're going to China. So China have got a lot of technology that's out there at the minute, like battery storage systems, you know, to supplement power from the grid for charge point operators where they haven't got enough power, you know, and that's what I was referring to before. You know, you might have to pay £1 million for a 1 MVA grid connection, whereas you could get 500 kVA today and it costs you half the money or less, but you then put some battery storage in there to supplement power because you know what are the peak times of the day or night that you're going to use, that them chargers are going to get used. And, you know, there's opportunities there to supplement that power. But then there's also a revenue stream from it as well. So I think, you know, there's definitely technologies coming in with battery technology getting better, getting smaller, getting cheaper. I think, you know, it'd be crazy not to consider using that kind of technology to help in the journey that we're on, really.
And just help us. You mentioned, because I mean, MVA, KVA, I know that they're similar but different to megawatt and kilowatt. Talk to us just a little bit about that, those language differences.
So it's VA, it's volt amps. So it's millions of volt amps as opposed to thousands of volt amps. So basically when you're in a transformer, you might get a 2 MVA transformer, which would be 3,200 amps from a low voltage side. So it's just the power that you need to be able to bring in from the grid. Because obviously what you're doing is with a transformer, you're stepping down from 11,000 volts predominantly, could be 33 kV, but generally it's 11,000 volts to 400 volts. But obviously you need the transformer suitable because at 11 kV, 2 MVA, on the low voltage side, there'll be 3,200 amps of power, of current.
And I'll be honest with you, and I'm probably speaking for many of our audience, I'm never going to understand all that. So it's really important that we have people like you that understand the electric industry and are able to translate all of this into the real world for us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fundamentally what we want to do and what we do today, every day. You know, we support customers that kind of want something, but they don't really know what they want. So we start off kind of asking the question, so what is it that you want to put, you know, what are you charging? Is it trucks? Is it cars? Is it vans? That kind of thing, you know, whether the van's going to be on the in the depot or, you know, if they're en route, what kind of van is it? How quick do they charge? And that kind of determines the type of charger you need, whether that's AC charging for overnight charging or whether that's DC charging to put some power into it very quickly so you can get on your way again. And then that's the kind of the start point then is like, well, okay, this is the charger you need. How many do you want? And then when you work out how many you need, then you can work out how much power you need. And then that starts that kind of, you have to start at the end really to get to the beginning, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then from that point then we can take that forward and apply for the grid connection to the DNO. You know, we can do all that for, and we do the design, the NERS designs as well. So we can help with all that side of it. But we also do the full turnkey as well as part of the group. You know, we do a lot of the installation of all the chargers and commissioning, and we're kind of kicking off big style now with our operation and maintenance business. So we can maintain all the HVLV and all the chargers for clients moving forward. So, you know, there's lots of things that we're bringing all that together into one place.
It's often said, Neil, that people buy from people, and you're very heavily involved in business development. I'm fascinated by you, the person, because you are very easy to talk to, and I don't find it easy to talk to lots of people, but you, I get, and we just seem to hit it off. What is it about you that you think makes you a success in the business development world?
Definitely just literally open, honest, trustworthy. You know, like I've been in this industry for a long time, and I've been doing business development and sales for a long time. And I think it started off when I was like, my dad was a real big influence on me because he was really, you know, open, honest with people. He'd help people that needed helping, regardless of what that was. And I kind of, that's kind of rubbed off on me that, you know, I've always wanted to help people. I've always been, you know, I love talking to people. I love building relationships with people. And it's that trust factor. I think, you know, when I build a relationship and somebody asks me to do something, I do it and I get it done and I'll help as much as I can. You know, I'll go beyond, above and beyond to help a customer if they want something and need something quickly. And I think you have that. Once you do that, you build that relationship with people and they know that they can come to you and you'll do whatever you can to help them. And it's all about trust. And it always has been about openness and transparency for me. It's just, you know, if you hear people in the industry saying something and you're like, well, you know, that's not true. So why are you saying it? Just be honest about it.
It's good to hear you talk positively about your father. And I know that people have very different relationships with their parents and with their fathers, specifically with men. What were the qualities that he had that you've absorbed? And what are the gaps? What are the things that you've had to bring to the table as a man for yourself?
I suppose from my dad's point of view, like I said before, he was the epitome of honesty. You know, if it did, you know, he'd tell people what it was, whether it upset them, you know, but it was for the right reasons. You know, if he saw something that wasn't right, he'd tell them it wasn't right, but he'd explain why it wasn't right. He just wouldn't, you know, it was all about that deep explanation of kind of, well, I'm saying it because of this. He was being open and honest with people. And I suppose he was trying to help them grow as well, because people don't always see their failings. Yeah. You know, they don't see what's the negative side of them and what isn't. So I think he was the type of person that, you know, with friends, he wouldn't do it to complete strangers, obviously, but for people he knew, he was very open with them. And, you know, he was almost like a coach or a life coach without being a coach. He just did it because that's the way his brain worked. And he was, you know, like I say, he was really good at, you know, I always remember when I was a kid growing up, he'd be on the front garden and everybody in the village, bear in mind this was a mining village and everybody knew everybody, he'd walk past and they'd all be really polite, Mr. Hughes. Hello, Mr. Hughes. Are you okay, Mr. Hughes? Everybody just loved to speak to him. And yeah, he was brilliant. And I suppose a lot of them qualities, like, it's rubbed off on me because I'm very similar to that. I like, you know, I love speaking to people. I'll help people as much as I can, you know, even if they don't want help. And, you know, you just got to keep going.
What do you mean you didn't want to cross the road?
Yeah. Okay, I'll take you back then. I'll take you back across the road.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Thank you, Mr. Hughes.
Yeah. Back in two all day. Like, that, my next job's going to be a lollipop man.
So, would it be right in thinking that your father's no longer with us?
Yeah, no, he died quite a few years ago, to be honest. Yeah, it was a sad day, but he'd had a really good life. And, you know, when the church was absolutely, bear in mind, he was 87 when he died. So, you know, he'd had a good life, but the church was absolutely rammed. But it was rammed with my friends that we grew up with when we were kids. And you know, just, yeah, it was amazing to see how much of an impact he'd had and how busy, you know, busy. Well, you don't want a church to be busy because you don't want a funeral, but it was a really good, you know, it was good to see, and it was a proud moment really for all them people to turn out to somebody's funeral that was 87, you know, and it was lots of younger people, and it was really good. Yeah. So
pride was where I was going with that. I wonder, your father now, I mean, you clearly even now idolize the man, and he taught you a great deal. He was a big influence. What would his view of you be, do you think, right now?
Oh, he'd be really proud, because one of the things he always said to me is, don't you dare go down the pit. Don't you dare go down the pit. I actually did go down the pit once when I was a service engineer, but it wasn't to work down the pit. It was just to commission something. But yeah, he always said that. So I think he'd be absolutely, yeah, he'd be bursting with pride to see kind of where I've got to now. Not that I've got anywhere, but you know what I mean?
Well, you have, though. You have. And I think that's important. You have to recognize that, you know, you could have ended up down a pit, killed at a very early age, because of a mine collapse. It happened to my grandfather's brother, you know, and you didn't. You escaped what was a very, very dangerous world. And you made not only a career, but hugely important relationships with people that are driving forward this relatively early industry and doing a really great quality job. You have achieved a great deal, my friend.
Thank you very much. You don't think of it sometimes, do you? When you're doing your job, you just do your job and you don't think about, you know, you don't think about what you've done. You just get on with what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm glad we do.
As we look back at our lives, we say, like, you know, your dad would be proud of you for not going down the pit and for, you know, for building the career that you have and probably the relationships and everything that you've got in your life. What are you most proud of? What is the thing that, as you look back over your career, what stands out?
I think for me, it's just like you say, the relationships I've built and the friendships I've built, because, you know, there's a lot of customers that I've had over the years that I'm still close friends with, even though I don't kind of work in their sector of their industry that they're in. So I think it's building them, and also, you know, colleagues over the years. When I worked at Schneider over the years, you know, we're still friends. We still speak on WhatsApp. I'm going to some of these. Yeah, well, can't say it, but yeah. We keep in touch with people and all that kind of thing. So it's all good.
Oh, we almost got an exclusive then, folks. Oh dear, the NDA just kicked in.
I think for me, it's all the relationships, and, you know, it's having, I suppose, a career in this industry. You know, not everybody has careers that they can talk about, but yeah, in the same industry but in different parts of it over the years I've been, it's all that really, as well as the relationships and customers that are friends now.
And what are you most excited about with Utility Line, and specifically, you know, over the next couple of years, what's your expectation? You've mentioned maintenance, you've mentioned the support that you give to people in this journey. What are you most excited about?
I think, obviously, I come in as the head of business development. Now I'm kind of the head of commercial. And I think for me, it's that diversification piece. So predominantly, I suppose, Utility Line over a number of years have been very big in EV charging hubs for public charging. So, you know, we've done a lot of them for various charge point operators over the years, and we continue to do that. And along with it, can you continue to grow? You know, we're looking at new customers in that area. I think, but for me, it's that kind of diversification piece where we kind of pivot to look at a different, you know, different type of charging. So obviously working with truck operators, working with bus operators, you know, to help the heavier industry, EV industry, kind of take off and move forward, because I think that's the next thing. I think, you know, the public charging hubs will grow just because they will, and people will buy electric cars, and, you know, the industry will grow like that. And I think it will become very much like pulling up a petrol station, you know, and I think that's what will happen in that area. But I think the challenges are probably more on the heavier industry. So, like, you know, the construction. So construction vehicles will need to be electrified, whether it's JCB and it's hydrogen or whatever it is, but they'll need to be carbon zero vehicles. So it's how we can help them when you're in remote locations, what's the challenges there. And it's just that whole diversification piece, not just that, but into industrial commercial, you know, the big sheds, the Amazon sheds, and getting involved in not just putting power into them, but, you know, what do they need there for charging vehicles and the rest of it. So it's just the grid connection, but it's also what else is there, what's next in kind of that technology from vehicle perspective. And that's for me the exciting bit is you bringing new technology in to support customers, but it's also what's next? What's the next big thing in this? The truck, the bus, that side of it. I just think it's a really fascinating and interesting industry to be in, because we've got what we need to do, but then we've got all the challenges associated with that because of the lack of power in the grid and all the things that people talk about. Well, it's still got to be done. So how do we do it? And what do we leverage to do that? So that's, for me, the exciting thing over the next few years.
Brilliant.
I imagine, Neil, that living in Wrexham and having a remit which takes you all over the place in the country is a bit of a challenge, and that you spend a lot of time sitting in your car, doing Zoom meetings, sitting in an office at home or wherever you might be, in hotels a lot. Does that impact your life a great deal, the work that you do?
It can do. Depends on what week's what. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, I've been doing this job for a long time, not just with the utility line, and I just think you have to balance that. So I think it's very much about having that work-life balance. And I suppose the biggest challenge for me was, like, I've always driven petrol or diesel cars up until probably 7 years ago. And if anybody had asked me 10 years ago, would I have an electric car? I'd have been, absolutely not. Why would I want one of them? But, you know, started doing the EV in Schneider, I got an electric car. The first 6 months was challenging in my head. Wasn't really challenging, but in my head it was going to be challenging, because it's like, well, what happens if I run out of electric or what, you know? So, but it helped, because for me it was more of a planning thing, because when I had a diesel car, I'd think nothing of driving 5 hours without stopping. And then getting out the other end thinking, God, it feels like I've done a day's work already, which is not safe. It's absolutely not safe. So having to stop to charge, because you need to stop for a comfort break. So it is like, I wasn't stopping to charge, but it was making me stop to have a coffee break and send some emails. I charged my car up. It made my life a lot safer. So I think, people say it's negative, but I don't see anything negative about that. I think it just helps you take the time out that you need and not drive too long, and it's safer. And I think you just get your head in a good place.
You're making other positive changes. We were talking just before we started about a way in which you're changing your routines by doing the couch to 5K. How easy is that to do?
I think it sounds easy when you first talk about it, but I think getting off the couch is the hardest part. And I think starting it at a certain time of the year where the weather's not fantastic, it's difficult. You just got to push yourself to do it. And I think once you're out there in the fresh air and you're doing it in the right way, I think it's really enjoyable. But yeah, it's not easy to do. It's challenging, but I think you've got to see what the benefits are of it. And I think as you get older in years, I think it's more important to get out in the fresh air and to do some exercise, because it's like the old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. So you may as well, you know, use it in a good way and get out there and keep the legs going.
That's it. Good. And it's a brilliant segue, because Neil, we do have somewhat of a closing tradition, and if you don't use it, you lose it. And that is the EV Cafe Magic Wand, everybody. Yay, it's back. And we get to hand this to Neil. So, Neil, are you ready? It's coming. And over it comes to you across the airwaves. Thank you so much, sir. There we go. You now possess the EV Cafe Magic Wand, and you get one wish. And it is only one wish. Some people have twisted our arm and occasionally got away with an extra bit. But one wish for use in the industry or however you wish. It's your wish. But, you know, everybody's watching, so world peace needs to be up there. But it has been done. World peace is done. What is it? And it can't be for Wrexham Football Club, because that's just wishing too much.
That was going to be my next one, to be honest. but it is, it's. I'd love to have two, and I'd be very quick to one personal one and one industry one.
All right, then, go on.
So the personal one is obviously around that couch to 5K, couch to 10K. At some point, I would love to do a proper 10K race and achieve a really good time. So that's one of the wishes, is to do that and to keep going with that hobby. The other one is more of an industry thing, and I think for me, it's if I could use that magic wand, it would be to take away all the red tape away from what you have to do to kind of get this journey going to net zero, especially with EV, not just EV, but other things as well. If you're putting battery storage in or grids to battery, I think all the red tape around planning and all that needs to be really looked at, especially with local authorities, because I think I've seen so much money being wasted because of red tape, and I just like to get rid of all that red tape because fundamentally we're paying for it through our taxes. So I think get rid of that red tape, and I think all this would move a lot quicker and a lot smoother.
Yeah, I think the old red tape bit, it's it would do you out of a job, wouldn't it?
Could potentially do you out of a job for sure.
Anyway, John, this has been great, hasn't it?
It's been really fun. I've enjoyed this one, and I love Neil. I've always loved Neil because he's determined. He was determined to work, and it's true. You were determined right from the first time I met you to work with us, and your journey has taken you to another company, and you've gone again, and you've said, "How can we find a way of working with the EV Cafe?" And it's that determination which means that at least one of your wishes will come true. If I tell you a little story, when I was a little younger, back in 1995, I was challenged by my brother to run the London Marathon. I was 4 stone overweight, and he didn't think I could do it in a million years. And I did a 5K, I did a 10K, and I rang him and I said, How's your training getting on? Are we ready to go for the marathon? And he said, I bought a new pair of trainers. I took them to the end of the road, vomited, put them back in the cupboard and never did it again. I went on from 10K, and I did in 1997. I finished the London Marathon, and nobody can take that away from me. And I see in you that same determination that says, I'm good enough to do this, and I need it, I want it, and I'm going after it with everything I've got. So I think this could be the first wand wish that will be delivered. And if it is, I will come and celebrate with you at Wrexham.
Oh, fantastic. We'll have to arrange that for sure.
Definitely. I think some tickets, a little bit of a hospitality thing. We need to party.
Absolutely. I'm all up for that for sure.
Good man.
I'll let you know when it happens and we'll get that arranged for definitely.
Good man. Cheers, Neil.
Excellent.
Neil, it has been absolutely brilliant, and it is so encouraging to work with people that have a similar mindset. And, you know, the area of ICP, or, you know, independent connection provider, and a lot of the stuff that we've talked about today is complex, and it is one of the reasons we're not moving forward at the pace that we could. And without people that can articulate this well and deal with the problems that come up, we're going to be in deep doo-doos. But you, sir, bring it to life. You understand it and you're able to ask the right questions. I'm feeling confident because you are a company like Utility Line and are targeting fleets and operators and CPOs and all of those kinds of things that have got these challenges. But with you, they're going to be able to solve them. And that is good news. And that's, you know, I've got the magic wand back. It automatically comes back after you've made across your wish. It just comes straight back to me. It's like a boomerang. You know, you throw it out and then it comes back.
He's actually got it on a piece of elastic, like children have mittens on their coat.
That's exactly it. But you know, my wish is that we have more people like you that are able to help this problem, because we got some big challenges ahead. You know, I put something out on LinkedIn today about trucks, and I literally was looking at 20 trucks which equal 10 megawatts of power in the vehicles. 10 megawatts. And that's just 20 vehicles. There are 590,000 trucks on the road. So there gives you some indication of the scale of the challenge that we have ahead of us. Now, I'm not afraid of that challenge because we've got people like you. And that is what is exciting about this industry. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sponsoring the EV Cafe. That is fantastic. And thank you for being a really good guest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No, I've really, really enjoyed it. It's been amazing. Thank you so much.
Bless you, Neil.
Well, as always, everybody, you know, there are a ton of other conversations on the website. You can listen to them all on Spotify and Apple. You can listen to them straight from the website. You can watch us, look out, watch us on YouTube, and you'll see all the nonsense live. But it's really insightful. I love the conversations we have because there are problems being solved every week and by great people. And that's the beauty. The beauty is in the people. Have a great day, everybody, and look forward to catching up with you again next time.